So again, the first thing I have is a joke. why are dragons horrible bosses? And the answer is because they fire all their employees. I thought that was cute. Okay. So as we know, in Arcade and the Triple T Token, written by Rashad Jennings, I am reading it with permission from Zondervan, which is a division of Harper and Collins. And we just had Amber noticing the confetti or glitter falling down. And her and Arcade are now in a veterinary clinic. And Zoe just got nominated to be the secretary to answer the phones. So here we go. She shoves me towards the hallway. Have fun with dog intestines. Amber grabs a clipboard from her desk and gestures down the hallway. Let's go take care of our boy. She acts like she's been doing this for years instead of just minutes. How can she be so calm? Frank takes the lead and walks fast toward a room at the end of the hallway. Amber stops and grabs my elbow. I don't know what that token thing was all about, and I don't know where we are or why we're here right now, but it's pretty cool, don't you think? Her face is glowing, and I notice that she has glitter in her eyeshadow and lip gloss. Amber, do you know how to operate on a dog? She laughs. Of course, and so do you. You saw the certificate on the wall. I start to shake. I'm pretty sure I don't. I had to get 2 stitches on my finger a year ago, and I fainted. For real? Well, I was on the floor, and they had to shove some bad-smelling stuff up my nose. But that's when you were just a little kid. Look at you now. She holds her palms up and smiles. I pull my scrub shirt out from my chest. Please, please, please be there, Triple T Token. But it's not. All I see is a bunch of new chest hair. Oh man, this is really going down. Amber opens the door to the x-ray room. Here we go. And now we're on chapter 14, Fetch the Ball. We stand in the dark room and Amber surveys the x-rays that are hanging up in the front of a light box. She points to a mass that is definitely plugging Samson's tube things. I mean, his intestines. Exactly as I thought, she says. He's got a blockage. It doesn't look like a tumor, though. She turns to Frank. Did he swallow something, like maybe a toy recently? Frank rubs Samson behind the ears. Well, buddy, what did you eat? He thinks a minute. We were at the dog park a couple of days ago, and he was chasing a little ball around with a small dog. The owner couldn't find it later. He puts his face near Samson's. Did you really eat a ball? And then he looks up at Amber. You know how he has terrible eating habits. He got in trouble for that a lot in the academy. Amber moves in closer to inspect the x-ray again. That could be a ball, but whatever it is, it's really plugging him up. We'll know more when we go in, and I suggest we do it now. She pushes on Samson's belly, and Samson whines a little. Kate, did you weigh him? Kate reads from a computer screen in the corner. Yes, he's down 10 pounds from his last checkup. Oh dear, he's dehydrated too, I'm sure. Okay, go ahead and prep the ER. Arcade, we better go scrub up. Ha! Amber, are you sure you know how to operate on a dog? Operate on a dog. I pump soap into my hands and rub, like I do at home all the time. But this time, it's not because I'm about to eat dinner. I'm about to perform surgery. Amber flips some water into my face and laughs. You sound like Doug. Actually, I'm not really sure. But I have to trust what that certificate says, right? Amber Diane Lynn, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. That's me, and here I am in a veterinarian's office. I can't let a few doubts steal my identity, and neither should you. But we're getting ready to operate on a dog, and not just any dog. Samson's a police officer. Amber breathes in deep and looks at the ceiling, which makes this whole thing even better. I love canines so much. I've watched at least 100 videos about them online. And then she looks at me. Don't worry, Arcade. Just trust. Can't you see? We're caught up in some kind of magical scenario where, with your special token, I'm not sure how this happened or how everything will turn out. Amber shakes her wet hands and grabs a towel to dry herself off. We just need to go fetch a ball. Out of a dog's belly! Amber puts her finger in her ears. Now, you're talking like Mr. Dooley, and the ball isn't in his belly. It's in his intestines. And with that, Amber walks toward the ER. I follow. Trust. Don't let doubts steal your identity. You are Arcade Livingston, doctor of veterinary medicine. The surgery lasts about 2 hours, and the only thing that weirds me out is when I have to shave Samson's belly before we cut into him. Guess Kate didn't have time for this, Amber hands me the razor. You might want to trim your chin while you're at it. I truly can't remember ever shaving my chin. I'm only 11. Well, at least I was an hour ago. What time is it anyway? I look up at the clock on the wall, but there's a hazy, glittering sheen over it. I think it says it's 6 o'clock. Zoe and I are late for dinner. I try to imagine the conversation when we try to explain to our parents where we've been. I was in the ER shaving a dog before I cut into him to unblock his intestines. Woo! Yeah, that's a good one, Arcade. Okay, here we are. Yep. It's a hard but spongy mass. Looks like the insides of a toy ball. His stomach acid must have taken care of the outside cover. I'm totally into the surgery thing. I reach in with the instruments I am sure are called forceps and pull the ball out of Samson. Amber applies pressure to stop the bleeding, but after several minutes, she realizes she can't. Take a look at this, Arcade. Several inches of his intestines are destroyed. The ball must have moved up and down a lot when his body was trying to reject it. I don't think we can repair this part. The blood is pooling, more and more of it. We have to make a decision, fast. I say a quiet prayer for Samson to survive, and maybe for that token to appear back on the chain with the coin slot in front of me right now. Andre, the animal anesthesiologist, comes over to my side. Do you need more time? I can give him some extra juice. I examine the wounded intestines. Yes, I agree with Dr. Lynn. We need to remove about 8 inches. I look over at Samson's sleeping face. Hope you're having a good dream, buddy, because your nap is going to be a bit longer than expected. Dr. Lynn, I can't believe I'm saying these words. I feel like I'm watching someone else perform surgery on this police dog. And though the token doesn't reappear, I'm not freaked out about it. I'm just forced into saving his life. And for some reason, for the next hour and a half, I know how to cut damaged intestines out of a dog, pull the good parts together, and stitch them up. Zoe's never going to believe this. And now we're on chapter 15, Phones and Cones. Well, it's about time you got out here. Zoe's fists are shoved into her hips as she greets us out at the main office in the Positive Pet Care Center. Phones have been ringing off the hook. You would never believe the trouble these animals are getting themselves into. I've got a puppy who ate ant steaks, a dog with a burr in his eye, and a cat that's all torn up from fighting with another cat. I'm glad I own a bird. Birds are no picnic either, I say. They can get fatty liver disease, lymphomas, bumblefoot, and let's not even talk about feather picking. Zoe closes her eyes and shakes her head. Who are you, and what are you saying to me right now? I point to the certificate, Arcade Livingston, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, and I just recited some frequent health maladies of cockatoos. And it's pretty amazing that I know something you don't for a change. Zoe just glares and says with her French accent, tout est fou, whatever that means. Where's Frank? Amber asks Zoe. Zoe puts her hand on her forehead. I'm sorry, I was so wrapped up in animal drama that I didn't even ask about Samson. Is he going to be okay? Frank's outside with a bunch of New York City police officers. They were in here earlier telling me stories about Samson. Had me in tears. They finally went outside since there were so many of them. I look at Amber. Would you like to tell them the good news, Dr. Lynn? Absolutely. We walk out of the doors and 12 pairs of eyes focus on Amber. She looks confident, professional, and I would never say this to a living soul, but she also looks pretty. Her mouth turns up in a grin. Samson ate a ball, but Dr. Livingston here got it out. He also removed 8 inches of intestine, which Samson can live without. We'll help him here tonight and call you tomorrow when he's ready to go. He'll be on pain meds and muscle relaxers for a while, but he'll have to wear a cone so he doesn't lick at the wound. But he should be back fighting crime in 2 to 4 weeks. Frank steps forward to hug Amber and then me. Thank you so much for saving my partner. You're welcome, I say, and I think it's cool that I'm as tall and as muscular as the policeman. He steps back. Why have I never met you before? Whenever we're here for a checkup, we only see Dr. Lynn. I try not to make eye contact. I recently moved here from Virginia. Well then, welcome to the Big Apple. And if you ever need my help for anything, please give me a call. Frank Landon, 20th Precinct. I nod. I'll do that, Frank. And thanks to you all, I gesture to the group, for keeping our city safe. Suddenly, I'm bombarded with strong handshakes and the smell of manly aftershave. I'm going to have to get me some of that if my token doesn't return soon. After a few more minutes of conversation, Amber yawns. It's been a long day, and we've got to get things ready for the night shift. She shakes Frank's hand. I love your dog. Sometime I'd like to come back, come check out that canine academy. The invitation is open anytime. Great, I'll see you tomorrow when you come to get Samson. Tomorrow? Does she think we're gonna hang out here in Token Land forever? Zoe is waiting inside for us with Loopy and Snickers. She's feeding them treats and chowing on a bowl of candy herself. So, what do we do now? We have a bunch of pet owners to call back and a recovering German Shepherd police officer in the back room. She turns to me. You can make those doors appear any time, Mr. Bumblefoot. I reach for my chest and feel nothing but hair. No, Zoe, I can't. I don't have the token, and I don't have any idea how to make it come back. Whoa, it's 9 o'clock, Amber says. Do you think we should call our parents? And what would you tell your parents, Zoe laughs, that you're all grown up and you're sorry you're late for dinner, but you had to do an emergency surgery on a German Shepherd? I'll tell them that I'm with Arcade working on our career expo project and time got away from us. Yeah, something like 15 years got away from us. Goosebumps cover my whole body. I can't believe I operated on a dog. I feel dizzy. I take my phone out of my pocket and stare at the screen. Amber and Zoe look at their phones too. Glitter, Zoe says. All I see is glitter on my screen. Mine has it too. Amber looks over at me. Mine too. And then a whole bunch of it falls from the sky. Loopy barks and jumps up to try and eat it. Don't do that, Loop. You'll get sick. As I reach down to pick him up, I feel something tickling my chest hair. Doors with a flashing golden coin slot appear right there in Positive Pet Care Center's front office. Take Snickers' leash, I say to Amber. I pass Loopy over to Zoe, and I grab the pulsing token. It comes off the chain, just like before, and I slide it into the slot. I put my hands together and gesture for the doors to open. Get us out of here, I yell. The doors open, and all of us step in. Dr. Amber Lynn, Zoe, the front desk phone girl, Loopy, Snickers, and me, Arcade Livingston, doctor of veterinary medicine. And this one says, chapter 16, On the Way Back. We don't get thrown right back like last time. This time we go for a ride. We're in a large room, and the lady, the old one from the library, is there in front of me. But it's like she's in a movie, or it's a hologram of her, and she keeps saying, "Happy travels, Arcade," so loudly that my ears hurt worse than when Mr. Dooley talks. "Who are you?" I call to her, and then I hear a deep, devilish laugh coming from behind me. "It's not yours," the lady yells. "Leave him alone." I slump down and squeeze my eyes shut, but I can feel a kind of shadow covering me. "Give me the token. You stole it." "The token belongs to the boy," the lady says. "Don't listen to him, Arcade. He'll only have the power if you give it to him." "What power?" And then the room goes black and begins to drop like an elevator. And now chapter 19, which is No Place Like Ivy Park Park. I hit the ground hard. Good thing I landed on one of the few grassy patches in New York City. "Zoe, Amber." I sat up and rubbed my head. And when I did, I noticed that my arms were back to their original size and not hairy. Loopy jumped up on my lap, climbed up on my chest, and began licking my nose. I hugged him with all my might. "Arcade, are you all right? We've been looking all over for you. I thought you didn't make it back." And now Zoe was down on the ground, hugging Loopy and me, and even kissing me on the forehead. "Gross. I'm sorry I called you a bumblefoot. I don't even know what that is." Amber stood there, watching the sisterly, slobbery fest. Snickers, too. "Hello, Dr. Livingston." I stood up and brushed myself off. I looked around. "Are we back at Ivy Park Park?" Zoe made a sob laughing sound. "Yeah, it looks like it." She grabbed her forehead. "And it's still light out." Amber checked her phone. "It's only 4:15. And it appears we're right back where we started when we ran into the glitter cloud." Goosebumps rose on my arms. "Did you see the lady?" Zoe looked around in confusion and shrugged. "What lady?" "The one who gave me the token. She was yelling at the shadow, and then the room fell." Zoe reached over and placed her hand on my forehead. "You're burning up. Are you feeling okay?" "I didn't see any lady. Did you, Amber?" Amber shook her head. "When did you see her, Arcade?" "It was right after we went through the doors. She was in the room, and her voice was really loud." Zoe and I stepped right through the doors and onto this grass. "You didn't show up for a few minutes after that. You didn't perform any more dog surgeries without me, did you?" "No, I would never." Goosebumps covered me again and I felt exhausted or worried. "No, it was something else. Arcade," Zoe waved her hands in front of my eyes. "Hello, are you there?" My heart raced and my hands got all clammy. I turned my head as far as I could, right and then left, searching for something, but I didn't know what. Loopy jumped and barked, so I picked him up. He whined and stretched to lick my neck. I'm okay, but we need to get out of here." Amber took hold of Snickers' leash and we all began to jog out of Ivy Park Park. "Amber," Zoe said, "Arcade and I really don't know what's going on with the token. So if you could not say anything to..." "Your secret's safe with me." Amber covered her heart with her right hand. "Plus, if I tried to tell anyone what just happened, who would believe me?" "No one would, except maybe Frank and Samson the canine, if they actually exist." Chapter 18, some explaining to do. The walk home was a blur. Amber split off from us at some point, but I wasn't paying attention to where or when. Her calm, "see you tomorrow," rang in my ears for the rest of the way home, along with other thoughts that pounded away in my brain. "Happy travels. Enjoy the ride. He'll only have the power if you give it to him." "What power?" I blurted out loud. Zoe grabbed my elbow and pulled me to a stop just before we rounded the last corner to our brownstone. "Arcade, what's going on with you? You're scared, I can tell." That's it. That's the feeling. Fear. I looked her in the eyes. There's someone after me. Or after the token, I think. The old lady warned me in the room. She said not to give him the power. Zoe felt my forehead again. I don't know, Arcade. You're still hot. Are you sure you didn't dream that part? I pushed her hand down. Did you dream answering the phones at Positive Pet Care Center? Zoe bit her lip. No, I didn't. She looked behind me and then turned. Let's get to the house. As we climbed the steps to our front door, Zoe briefed me on what to say to our parents that evening. Say nothing, Arcade, and I mean it. I'll tell them you're sick, and then I'll bring food up to your room. When we finally figure this all out, we can tell them what's going on. Seemed like a good plan to me, but things don't always go according to plan. Inside, we were greeted by two notes. One from Dad. Hey, guys, had to go to work early tonight. Stage malfunction. Love, Dad. And one from Mom. Got called to a meeting. So sorry. Take and bake the pizza that's in the fridge. Cook it for 20 minutes. 400 degrees. Love you so much, Mom. Zoe sighed and dumped her backpack on the dining room chair. Good. Now we can relax and figure out what's going on with the Triple T token. Triple T. Triple T. I slumped down on the couch. Now you did it. Milo can't keep a secret. Time for a hamster. Zoe walked over to Milo's cage, opened the door, and took him out. He leapt onto her finger to her shoulder, from her finger to her shoulder. Milo's a smart birdie, she said. Smart birdie, smart birdie. Zoe smoothed some of Milo's ruffled feathers. Don't worry, Arcade. He'll forget. I'll teach him some new stuff, and we won't say that one thing again. She petted him on the head. You mean some pizza, Milo? You want some pizza, Milo? Milo jerked his head back and forth and pecked at his chest feathers. I pointed at him. Hey, look, feather picking. I thought he needed a vet. We could drop him off at the Positive Pet Care Center and leave him there till this thing blows over, and that could take years. Zoe's eyes grew wide. Hey, Arcade, do you think the Positive Pet Care Center actually exists? She grabbed Milo off her shoulder and had him back in the cage in seconds. Then she ran over to a backpack, took out her phone, and started poking at the screen. Huh, what are you talking about? I was just kidding. I scratched my head and tried to get up from the couch. And then a knock at the door. Zoe snapped her fingers at me and pointed in that direction while still checking her phone. Okay, I'll get it. I wish I hadn't, because there on the step stood a Tolly twin. He was big and wrinkled as usual. Hey, yeah. He looked around while wringing his hands. Can I come in? In? Like into my house? I didn't have a chance to decline. Mr. Tolly shoved himself in, practically knocked me over with my own door. Oops, sorry about that. He reached over to smooth my shirt. I had to duck my brother. And you are? Zoe stood and stared at the Tolly twin with a hand on her hip. Tolly looked at me and pointed a finger toward Zoe. What is she doing here? Zoe cleared her throat and gave the twin a nasty glare. I live here. What are you doing here? Welcoming us to the neighborhood? No, nothing like that. Zoe rolled her eyes. Me and Arcade have a meeting. I raised my eyebrows. We do? The twin nodded. Yeah, we do. But we gotta make it quick. Can we go somewhere private? Zoe put her phone up to her ear. You two could go up into Arcade's room, she pointed up the stairs. Next thing I knew, I had a Tolly in my room. I'd get Zoe back for that later. You got the outline and the plans yet? I picked up some pallets from the dumpster and I want to start building. Casey. Not yet. I had a little delay after school and I haven't been feeling well. Hey, what is this? Casey walked over to my desk and picked the top book off the large stack. Man, you really are a bookworm. The book he picked up was about card tricks and illusions. Is this a job I could have? An illusionist? Sure. And could you make yourself disappear right now? I watched as he opened up the first page. Or maybe I could be the one who creates an illusion instead. I walked over to him and took the book out of his hands. Nah, this wasn't what I was thinking for you. Actually, I spied the book on specialized tree houses halfway down the stack. Derek and I once talked about living in one together when I moved back to Virginia someday. I pulled the book out and showed him some of the color photos. Casey, since you like to build, why not build something cool and unique like you are? No hurt in building this guy up. After all, there was no one quite like him. Even though he had a twin, there had to be some differences. I searched his neck for moles. You think I'm cool and unique? Casey took the book back from me and began flipping through the pages. Dude, I could build zip lines too. I pointed out a picture of a deluxe treehouse with a zip line coming out of it. Well, yeah, zip lines work best with trees, so that's included in this kind of work. But it takes a lot of special training. And while I'm sure you are quite talented, I wonder if you would have the focus and drive to do this job well. So I'm researching other jobs for you. I reached to take the book, but Casey yanked it back. Hey, I got the drive, he pointed to his temple, and the smarts. I shook my head. I don't know. I think you should stay with something simpler. It would make an awesome display, though. Maybe you could put my finger to my lips. Maybe I could what? Nah, you wouldn't want to do it. How do you know? Tell me. The big guy is falling for this. Well, Casey, I was thinking, but since I'm not an expert, I wouldn't even know how to outline this or write it up or even what materials or tools or training you would need. Casey walked right up to my face. Tell me, Arcade. Okay. What if you built a small zip line for the Career Expo? It could be low to the ground, but you could hook the kids up and let them ride it. But nah, it would be too hard. Never mind. Casey cracked a smile. First time I had seen that. And he did have a small chip on his right upper tooth. Something to tell him apart. But not totally helpful because the Tolle twins don't make a habit of smiling. That would be sweet. My team would win with that for sure. Casey turned to another page in the book. These pictures are amazing. I can't wait to get started on this. I hold my hands out. Oh, wait a minute. I'm doing this, remember? I grabbed the book and then I found myself in a tug of book with Casey Tolle. And then we dropped it and it landed on my foot. Casey scowled. Now look what you did. I hope you didn't wreck the book. Glad to see that he had some respect for library books, if not for my smashed foot. I picked the book up off my foot and handed it to Casey. Okay, since you have so much interest in this, I'll make you a deal. But you don't make the deals. I do, Casey moved closer to me, almost bumping my chest with his. I backed up a couple of steps and sucked in some air. I get that. Just hear me out a second. What if you do this first part of the project? Casey moved back. Yeah, why not? I could do a better job than you anyway. I breathed out. But when you finish, you have to check in with me, okay? I only turn in quality work. Oh, it'll be quality. Casey pulled open the book again and scanned a page. But you'll have to make sure everything's spelled right so that I get an A on this thing. Okay, I'll do whatever you say. I showed Casey the time on my phone. Hey, is Kevin out looking for you? You better get back home. I opened my closet and pulled out an old loopy chewed backpack that somehow made it through the move. Put the book in here. You don't want anyone to know you're reading about this interest, anything interesting. They might want to steal your idea. Casey took the backpack. Yeah, and don't you tell anybody. I put both hands up. Your secret is safe with me, I smiled. Amber had said those words just a little while ago. Casey put his face near mine and narrowed his eyes before taking off down the inside stairs and landing in the living room, where Zoe was engaged in some sort of conversation on her phone. You never saw me, Casey said to Zoe, and then he disappeared. Zoe hung up from her call. What was that all about? Just making friends with the neighbors, Zoe smirked. Yeah, right. I think he just stole your ratty backpack, But who cares about that right now? Because the Positive Pet Care Center exists. Check this out. It's over on West 83rd Street. I grabbed the phone from her to look at their screen. Sure enough, she had a website up for Positive Pet Care Center, and there was a picture with the same door and sign on the front. And guess what? I made an appointment to take Milo in for his feather picking. My mouth dropped open. Zoe, we can't go there. Why not? They'll recognize us and then arrest me for doing dog surgery when I'm only 11. But you weren't 11 when you did the surgery. Plus, you had a license and it was successful, right? They won't recognize you. I felt my chin definitely no stubble. And then I thought about ball-eating Samson and Officer Frank. Hey, Zoe, do you think Frank Langdon is real and working at the 20th Precinct? Do you think he would try to find me if Samson gets sick again? Zoe threw her hands in the air. Who knows how this token thing works? But even if he were real, I doubt he could find you. Goosebumps rose all over my body again. Oh, he could find me. He's a policeman. How many Arcade Livingstons are there in the world? And how many in New York City? And if he found me, I'd have a whole lot of explaining to do. Let's do just a little bit more. Chapter 18 is Triple T Tuesday. I spend most of Monday night reading. Scan through at least 25 books. Each contained great ideas for the Career Expo, but I couldn't focus on one book long enough to decide on a career for me or the members of my team. Every time I got excited about something, I remembered that shadow, and the fear grew until I had to get up and move, grab another book, or pace around my room. I have been hearing exciting career ideas from some of you. Good thing Mr. Dooley's Tuesday voice wasn't thundering, but he was keeping me awake. But the rest of you, remember that your outline is due next Friday. The longer you take to decide, the less time you have to make your project great. I'm giving you an hour right now to work in your teams, so get on with it. Arcade, are you all right? Amber reached over and tapped my desk with her pencil. You've been zoned out most of the morning. I shook my head, let my cheeks go slack, and made a blubbering noise. I think dog surgery took a lot out of me. Amber giggled. Hey, I decided what to do for my career project. No joke, let me guess. Doctor of veterinary medicine? She shook her head. Nope. Really? Then what? Doug and Bailey dragged their chairs over and interrupted our conversation. Arcade, will you tell Doug that he can't be an inventor of gummy braces for our project? That would be so lame. Doug smiled big to show off his new mouth design. A full set of braces with bright blue and green rubber bands. I say it's not lame. Doug pointed to his mouth. Can you imagine looking this great in your braces and being able to eat whatever you want? Anything's possible, Bailey, I said. And what would you put in your display, Doug? Doug pulled a big bag of gummy worms out of his backpack. Candy. That's it? Bailey palmed her forehead. Would I need anything else? We're talking kids here. Doug opened the bag, put his nose in, and sniffed. Amber took a project guideline booklet out of her notebook. If you want a good grade, you may want to consider other possibilities. And we'll stop there. Yay! I'll stop the recording.